The first scripture reading for this first Sunday in Lent is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. We begin reading at verse 1. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving to you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose.
Make his name dwell with
you. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come unto the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father. He went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us, laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite, and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 10th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 8. The Lord is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is satisfied, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the little devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory. For it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. A text for today is based on your gospel lesson. The words of the devil. If you are the Son of God. This is our text. How do you prove that you are who you say you are? Now, this is actually an interesting theme in the movies that come out of Hollywood. You know, every now and again, they have a movie where somebody replaces you. And you got to prove that you really are you rather than someone else. I remember one from many years ago, kind of a Disney classic. How many of you remember The Prince and the Pauper? Only that many? Not enough of you watch Disney. My wife knows what I'm talking about. She grew up next to Disneyland. That's where two people, a pauper, a poor person, and a prince, who look a lot alike, actually switch places. And it's kind of interesting, all the chaos that erupts as a result of that switching. Then one day the prince actually has to prove who he is because nobody will believe that he really is who he is. How do you prove that you are who you are? Well, you have to demonstrate some kind of trait or knowledge that nobody else but you possesses. You are the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. Seems like a pretty good test. Though Jesus won't do it. Now it's only in Star Trek. Some of you know what Star Trek is. Okay. And with transporter beams and all that kind of cool technology that they can turn stones into bread. But, you know, there's an old story. How many of you watch Captain Kangaroo? All right. I'm connecting with the audience. How many of you remember Stone Soup? It's a wonderful story. If you got grandkids and they don't know what stone soup is, you got to read them Stone Soup. Yeah. Three guys go into town. They're starving. And they take stones and they don't turn them into bread. But by the time they're all done, they have a soup that's able to feed not only themselves to their full, but to feed the whole town. I guess turning stones into bread isn't necessarily that hard a thing if a bunch of poor, starving men can accomplish it. The devil takes him to the top of the temple. Throw yourself off, and the angels will bear you up like on eagle's wings. Sounds hard, but you know, these days, have you ever heard of hang gliding? I've seen people jump off cliffs and not kill themselves. Videos on YouTube and other things. Jesus won't do anything that the devil asks to prove that he really is the Son of God. And then we read this interesting comment at the end of the book of, or end of the temptations of Jesus. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So when does the devil ask again if you are the Son of God? You read through the gospel, it's at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who really is all powerful. He can turn stones to bread. He can jump off cliffs if he wanted to. He can also cause earthquakes, and with a word, he can make light appear. He really can do everything. But when you look for definitions of what God is in Scripture, one of the most significant is this. 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Now, humanity likes to play around with the definition of love. It often calls a lot of things love that really aren't love. We can say we used to love this person, but we don't love them anymore. But that's not what love is. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, love never ends. Even though we may play around with the definition of love, still we are capable, because we were created in the image of God. Darkened as that image has become, when we see real love, we recognize it. Perhaps the time we're most likely to see something like real love is in the love between parents and children. Now, sometimes parents can have a rotten child who's rebellious, hateful, mean, disobedient, who wants maybe nothing to do with his own parents, who love him. But say, like the prodigal son in Scripture, that son one day runs away, sees the error of his ways, comes back begging for help, like that father in the parable of the prodigal son. He rejoices, because he never stopped loving his son. We're capable of recognizing what real love looks like. When God says he is love, what does it look like? Stand beneath the cross of Christ. Listen to him as he's being hoisted up by men who, maybe a half hour, an hour before, punching him in the face,
Son of God, tell us who hit you. Put a purple robe on, the crown of thorns on him, and mock him and bow down to him. And then they take a whip. 39 times they do their best to rip the flesh off his back. And they take him to the hill of Golgotha, and they pound nails into his hands and his feet. As he's being yanked up into place on the cross, you hear him say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Is there one among us today who claims to be a loving individual, thinks they could say that for what they've been through? Yeah, we may not always live out in our lives what we say love is. But at the cross, we see love in its purest form, because God is love. Then you walk by the cross and you hear the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees calling out, "If you are the Son of God, come on down from there and we'll believe in you." When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You are the Son of God. Which one of us, we had the power of God, having been through what we've been through, having seen our disciples desert us, the nation that we redeemed from slavery mocking us, having the power to get off that cross and to beat them to a pulp or call down lightning bolts, just sit there because we had to save them? You want to know what love really is? Do you want to know what it really means when God says he is love? Go to the cross. But not only is God love, God also is other things, including being all powerful. You know, with our modern technologies, we can do amazing things. Things that if people in the days of Christ saw, they'd think they were miracles. You know, with all our technical prowess, with all the amazing things we can do and are probably going to be able to do in years to come, things that maybe would even amaze our own generation today, I guarantee you there's one thing we're never going to be able to do. Conquer death. He was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. Are you the Son of God? Go to the cross. The empty tomb. You want to know that God is both powerful, all powerful, all loving? That's where you get the answers to those questions. They're proven beyond all doubt, beyond all questioning. Yet people do still question. and not just those who don't claim to believe, even those who do believe. God, if you can do all things, why did you let this happen in my life? God, if you really love me, why don't you help me with this problem? You are the Son of God. Maybe not on a regular basis. But I think each and every one of us at some point in life have, if you will, played the devil's advocate, questioning the identity of God. Is he really who he says that he is? In those times when that happens in our life, but not just in our life, we know other people in moments of tragedy and trouble who've raised that issue, maybe even come to us because we are Christians, who claim to know God. Why did God let this happen to me? Is he really all that loving? Is he really all that powerful? When those questions arise in our own heart, or if we encounter someone with those questions, this is how we address them. First, most important of all, we take him to the cross. That's where the love of God is ultimately defined. And also in the empty tomb, that is where the power of God is ultimately defined. It's also at the cross where we will ultimately understand why Jesus had to come. We see visited upon him the inhumanity that man is capable of against man, the cruelty, the hatred, the anger, all being vented upon an innocent man. Ask yourself why Jesus had to come into the world. At the cross, you see the answer. Yes, life is cruel. It's horrible at times. A quote from the Apostle Paul, few lessons ago in our worship services. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all people. We need to be able to look forward to a different life, a new life, where all that is wrong with this world comes to an end. Where all that is right endures forever. That's why Christ came. At the cross, we learn that his love has no ending for the worst among us. His power to conquer sin and death, no boundaries. We see him rise on the third day. But once we have reestablished in our lives that critical understanding of who God is, it ultimately invites us to ask different kinds of questions. God, This is what I am to endure in my life. How can I use it to serve you? How can I use it to show forth your love, your patience, your power? Yes, God does use our weaknesses, our tragedies, even our sorrows, to show forth his power and his love in our lives. As sinners, we just want to be rid of those things. We consider them to be useless. But in the hands of a God who can conquer death, who can love the most unlovable, they can be powerful tools to redeem the lost. If you are the Son of God, how does God prove who he is to you, to me, and to others? His ultimate proof has already been demonstrated. It is in the cross, in the empty tomb. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.